Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show, Supertalk 99.7.
You know, something we've never talked about on the air. I've always wanted to commit robbery. You know, just something about busting into a jewelry store, leaving with the jewels in a bag, getting to my getaway car. I mean, that used to be the, you know, like the fantasy of my life, committing an armed robbery. That or voter fraud. And now I think I'm going to go ahead and do voter fraud and vote in Nashville for the upcoming mayor's race. Why not? Everybody else does it. I was watching a Kennedy special on CNN last night. They were doing it. Oh, you know, give me and about 100 dead people and go vote for Ralph Bristol for mayor. And then once he's elected, think about the options. I think definitely for budget director Chris, because I don't know how he bought a new house, a new dining room set on a producer's salary. He's got to be good with money.
No.
Okay, that sounds fine to me.
Sanitation director, definitely Brother Ken. He looks like he'd pick up trash.
Wait just a minute. What do you mean by that? Well, he looks like he picked up trash.
You could see him.
Are
on
you
the
talking about the girls he used to date?
I hadn't thought about that. I think I'm definitely transit director because no one has spent more time in our traffic than me.
Yeah.
If you get elected, we got to get elected first. You're looking more handsome than ever. I don't know what the deal is. How much have you lost?
I just keep getting better looking every day. I don't know. What do you mean, how much have I lost? How much what have I lost?
I swear your hair even looks thicker.
How much?
Is this
how many wrinkles
have
I lost? What do you want to know here?
He looks like my...
He looks good. Brother Ralph, you look great.
My English bulldog, Joey, was the saddest day of my life. I didn't want him to die alone, so I held him while the vet put him to sleep. And then the minute he was gone, I wanted
to... I see
to,
the ADD is still working.
Yeah.
So I wanted to grab his soul and bring him back, but I watched his face just fill with peace.
Uh-huh.
And then all the pain of cancer left, and he just looks so happy. That's kind of how you look today.
Well,
are you sure you want to be mayor and ruin that?
Thankfully, I'm not dying of cancer, although I watched the same thing happen to my brother who died of cancer at 51 years old. He was, for a long time, he was just scared to death. He was going through all the chemo and everything else. And the last week, that all went away, and the peace came, and he accepted it, and
boom,
the rest of his life was, which... very short.
Everybody always asks, how is Ralph doing? And the truth of the matter is...
better than ever.
Ralph is loving retirement. So now it begs the question...
Yeah, exactly.
Give for mayor of Nashville.
What is going on here?
We ask everybody that ever comes on the radio, why? Why are you running and why do you feel led to run and why do you think you can win? So let's start with why. In the heart of enjoying all of your retirement... not that you've been enjoying it golfing with me.
Yeah.
Nobody can golf in this weather.
I love the city.
But something's called you.
You know, from the first time I got here, after about a week or a month maybe, and people said, do you think you'll stay here? I could honestly answer yes, I could, because I loved everything about Nashville. I don't know why. It just was the right size city. It had all the right stuff. It had all the right people. Had all the right atmosphere. It had all the right interesting things going on. This is the best place in the world.
We came within a week of each other, and we both, you know, had the exact same feeling that we didn't know what the future held in terms of radio, but we knew we loved it here and we felt at home here.
Right.
And I can relate to that.
And so I look forward to the future of Nashville, and I think we're about to make a terrible, terrible mistake with the future of Nashville by passing a transit tax to fund mainly a light rail system that is the most expensive, least productive form of transit there is that does nothing to solve the problem that it's being advertised for. That is,
and we're going to dust that. We're going to dust that out at full length. But that's a big reason for your decision, right? There were no candidates.
It is the main reason for my decision. I had not. This was not on my radar. Literally. 3 weeks ago, it was not on my radar. I was working against the transit tax, but I assumed that David Fox or Bill Freeman or even John Cooper, brother of Bill Cooper, I mean Jim Cooper, John is probably the most articulate spokesman against this transit tax, and he's a liberal Democrat.
Sure.
But none of them will run for mayor, and this is the biggest financial issue in the history of Nashville and probably in the future of Nashville, and nobody will run for mayor in this special election on that issue who has the chance of winning. Somebody had to, and I said, if nobody else will, I'm going to. And I gave them warning. And I warned them for several days, and they all said no.
So let's talk about there's probably somebody listening going, Ralph Bristol, conservative talk show host, is going to try to run for mayor of Nashville. You got to be a liberal to get elected.
No, you don't.
Mayor of Nashville. And I would say in this special election, with this issue driving this election and no other candidate who opposes it running in this election, I actually think you got a chance.
I don't think you have to be a liberal to win in Nashville in any election. Nashville, thankfully, is a nonpartisan city government. Now, most of the people who hold office are Democrat, sure, known Democrats. But the government itself, most of the issues before the government are truly nonpartisan issues.
Oh, absolutely. At the city municipal level.
I tell you, as I've been going to different community meetings just to explore this opportunity and listen to what they have to say about the transit issue and about city spending in general, I think I have more in common with black liberals living in District 1 and 2 on Nashville's west side than Mayor Briley does or a lot of the liberals on city council. I think our city council, our city government has gotten off onto the wrong track in terms of spending for very popular big city kind of things that needs to be stopped, needs to be reconsidered, and we need to have a full, open discussion about it.
So transparency is a huge thing for you, right?
Transit and open government. Yeah. Candidates talk about open government and transparency all the time. I'm going to guarantee you one thing and one thing only. I will have the most open government you've ever seen. My background is media. I covered local government for 20 years before I ever became a talk show host. I think a lot of what happens in local government, how the sausage is made, is kept behind closed doors, and it shouldn't be. I think the people need to see how the sausage is made, need to help make the sausage so that they know what it is, what's in it, and how much it really costs and why.
Former host of Nashville's Morning News, Ralph Bristol, running for mayor. It's official in Nashville. Obviously, this transit thing is a huge thing. I was talking with Tory Venable with the Americans for Prosperity earlier. And, you know, the cost, the taxation, the beginning of taxation, because there'll be far more taxation as we get down the road. And the impact it could have on tourism by sticking it, you know, everybody's a big spender with everybody else's money. But when you stick it to tourists, and especially major companies that make decisions about where they come, they can choose other cities. And we don't want to impact that. We have a lot on the line there. But I think the biggest problem for everybody is this fictitious belief that it would work when it so obviously
wouldn't. Work for what? Work for what?
That it would solve the traffic issue when it would.
Congestion issue.
I mean, even if not that $9 billion and how we would pay for it would make sense.
Let me take you back to Councilman John Cooper, who went to other cities. Charlotte is one that he talks about a lot as he's going to these community meetings and informing the public. He said, I went to Charlotte, asked all of the smart people there, you know, to get their feedback on transit. Every one of them asked me, what are you telling the people of Nashville about transit? He said, well, we got a big congestion problem. We need to solve it. And they say, don't say that. You can't say that. It doesn't solve congestion. It makes congestion actually worse. Transit is about development. It is about development and nothing else. And that is what it's about. Not this transit, light rail. I shouldn't say transit. Transit is, there's nothing wrong with transit. Light rail as a form of transit is a form of transit that is designed mainly to attract development and make inexpensive property more expensive so that tax money flows from a whole bunch of little people in small to a few developers to develop that low-rent property into high-rent property. Where are all the low-rent people going to go? Well, they're going to chase them out of there and then go subsidize their housing, like move them onto a subsidized plantation somewhere. And that's literally what they're planning to do, is turn these low-rent districts into high-rent districts, chase out the low-rent people, and then subsidize their housing someplace else. And that's supposed to make them happy? I don't think so.
That, and I'm guessing those funds and figures aren't involved in this $9 billion yet.
The $9 billion is actually, well, that's the second number people have been using. They started with 5.3, and
nobody's buying that.
And you'll actually see that number on the ballot, and they gave some kind of lame explanation as to why it's there. $9 billion won't even cut. $9 billion barely covers the principal and interest on the bonds. They're going to borrow $3 point something billion. And when it's all paid for, it's going to cost about $9 billion. And then once it's done, 2032 and after, so we've got nothing but expensive construction and disruption going on from now until 2032. Once it's done from 2032 and after, then you have $100,000 in or $100 million a year in operation cost, $100 million in today's money. So it's going to be a lot more than $100 million. The actual total cost of this light rail system is even not assuming cost overruns is more in the neighborhood of $12 or $13 billion.
You got to run it too. When you talk about the infrastructure, 840 is a great example, and I live this in other cities. You know, property. I mean, you look at like that Chapel Hill area. All that area along 840 is now exploding in growth. People buying property. It'll soon start having commercial and so on. That's why you do that. It takes land that is worthless and makes it somehow now, you know, you can just – Tulsa was a great example. We did a turnpike, unfortunately, that you had to pay for. But, oh, it took a bunch of land that was worthless and a part of town nobody ever went to. But then all of a sudden neighborhoods start springing up. Schools start springing up. Businesses start springing up. And it all fills in. But this would just trace the normal infrastructure we already have. So it wouldn't create
any – invite people to – to take a trip or two down Gallatin Road from Briley Parkway to the inner city and see what it is that they're planning on transforming. Now, granted, these are not the most attractive, expensive buildings and businesses and houses and everything else, but those businesses need a place to do business too. Those people need a place to live too. And many of the people have been living there and many of the people have been doing business there for a long time. Those who own their property, if they want to, they can probably sell at a profit, make a profit and go someplace
else. If they're given the option. I've seen that before.
If they're given the option. And, but the people who are renting either the business or living space, they are not going to be able to afford this when this transformation is complete. And that displacement, that gentrification, if you will, is already beginning. It will get worse. And the folks along there know it. The people are turning against this in ways that I'd never imagined. I went to a couple of community meetings this weekend, one specifically on the west end of Council Districts 1, 2, and 3. And when the debate was over between the pro and con people on either side of the argument, the audience was very adamantly against. And this was a predominantly low-income African-American audience. They had real, tough, good questions for the proponents of this plan. The public sentiment is turning against this in ways that the proponents never imagined. It is going to go down. And frankly, a lot of mayoral candidates are missing a great opportunity.
They may go down with it. Ralph Bristol running for mayor of Nashville. It is official, 1120. I'm Michael. Let's talk about do you think the average person – has been sold a bill of goods that this is a solution for congestion?
Yes, that's what they're advertising it for. All of the commercials and all of their advertising, and they're spending millions of dollars telling people that it's a solution to congestion. And anytime that you actually have a serious conversation with anybody who has studied this, will tell you, no, this is not a congestion solution. That is not what this is for. It is misleading to advertise this as a solution to congestion. It is the least effective solution to congestion you can imagine, and it's the most expensive form of any kind of transit.
But wouldn't you agree
that you can imagine
that what everybody is really needing is congestion help? In other words, there's sins of commission and sins of omission.
Right.
The sin of omission here is the things that we're not addressing for far less, maybe a tenth
instead,
of the expense.
Right?
Yeah,
sure.
And what are some of those you're going to tell people about?
Well, there are many things that are going to happen whether the city government does anything or not. One of them is the development of what's called AV or automatic vehicles and more on-demand ride services.
Uber
is going to go. Uber and Lyft are now getting into the on-demand pooled ride services at reduced cost. Automated vehicles are going to make that even less expensive. So that's happening.
What about an elevated express
lane?
More
better buses is a much more effective, less expensive alternative. Just a better bus system with more buses, better routes, even elevated freeways. You could add, believe it or not, and this is something that was told to us by Randall O'Toole from the Cato Institute, mm-hmm. who's written a book called Gridlock, Why We're Stuck in Traffic and What to Do About It. He said at a forum back in late January that you could add two lanes of freeway above every mile of freeway going through Middle Tennessee, 65, 40, and 24, 219 miles, two lanes for 219 miles for less than the cost of building those five light rail routes, the first of which is not even going to go all the way to the edge of Davidson County. It's going to stop halfway to the...
You talk to everybody that's in the know. Why is it never coming? Like last week. Last week was a joy, right? Everybody was in spring break. So there was no college. There was no private school. Legislature, I think, was... if we staggered start times alone, couldn't that make a tremendous impact for morning drive traffic and afternoon drive traffic?
I think there is already some of that because if you drive at different times of the day, we have very extended rush hours in both the morning and the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You can try to drive downtown at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and its traffic is still going to be backed up. You can try to drive away from downtown at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and traffic is already backed up. We all already have some staggered hours. One thing that is growing and can help is telecommuting, mm-hmm. and that's been growing slowly over the years and will grow more rapidly as technology advances and makes it more – it makes it easier to telecommute, and you can be more effective at doing so. But between that and the automated vehicle future, which is going to be a multi-trillion dollar a year industry, this problem is – advances in technology are going to take care of more of this problem than any amount of
and
government spending
will do. And faster than its projected end date.
And faster. So and even if you do need to have government spending – this is the most spending and the least amount, the least bang that you can get for any bucket.
In this final 30 seconds, doesn't it fascinate you that this discussion was never had first, that we get this one vision, one very expensive vision, misleading, that doesn't solve the problem, shoved down our throat because somebody's benefiting, and now we're having the discussion after the fact. This needs to fail. We need to have the discussion openly and then decide as a city and really, quite frankly, for all of us with the vested interest in the metropolitan
area.
And
we are now having it openly. And frankly, I think this is exactly the right time for this discussion because what happened was the Improve Act, the Gas Tax Improve Act, made it possible for the city to raise this money, but they had to get the permission of the taxpayers, the voters, had to approve it. So the city council had to ask the voters, hey, we want to do it. Will you let us? Do you want to do it? And now the voters are having this discussion. This is the these are the right people having the discussion now, and that's all of us and not just 30-some people.
Well,
on
up
the city
until
council.
This morning, there wasn't a single candidate running in this special mayoral election for Nashville with this centerpiece issue that was against it. Now there is one. Ralph Bristol, running for mayor of Nashville. We'll talk about other issues besides transit that face our city when we come back. It's 11:26, 48 degrees on our way to – I don't know how we're getting to 65 today. Is anybody going to adjust that? I guess it's possible if we ever see some sun, but right now we haven't cracked 50, let alone anywhere near 65. We'll get you traffic and weather together and top stories with Ken Weaver next. 11:40 in the morning. 20 minutes before noon. I am Michael DelGiorno, information-fueled, opinion-driven. That's Super Talk 99.7 WTN. One top local story. Former talk show host Ralph Bristol has announced he's running for mayor of Nashville. I just got this from one of my favorite meteorologists. I won't mention his name, but he said, hey, buddy, I grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta. I've heard many people refer to traffic and say, we don't want Nashville to become another Atlanta. So why would we do the same thing Atlanta has done, such as MARTA, Metro Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority? It's a light rail system, and it did nothing to solve the issues in Atlanta. Well, that's one of the big reasons why Ralph Bristol is running for mayor in this special election, to say no to this rail system. It's too expensive. It doesn't solve the problem. And we're missing out on other opportunities that would far more solve this issue. The other was to be very open and transparent and run a very transparent mayor's office.
something after our most recent, trials would be very welcome, I think, in the future. The other that I happen to know personally is you're just not a guy to run a negative campaign. You've never really responded to people that ran negative campaigns. Yeah. You're not one that thinks it should take a lot of money, just take a lot of ideas to win an office. So how does this play out?
Well, it plays out just exactly as you described it. I will not run a negative campaign. If I had to win, I wouldn't do it. And if I have to win, then I will lose because I won't run. I'm not going to go after my opponent's reputation, their history, all of that stuff, because it's not relevant to the issues that are important to the people that are voting. What's important to the people that are voting, and they tell you, if you ask them, education, health care, transportation, all that stuff, that doesn't have anything to do with anybody's personal habits or their girlfriends or any of that stuff. And so if you're running against somebody's reputation, what it probably means is you don't have any good ideas and you just want to be mayor. And I don't want to be mayor because it's such a great job.
Traditionally,
I want to transform campaigning and I want to transform the waste government is run.
Traditional trajectories are normally council members that think it's the next step to be mayor, very wealthy people who just want to be mayor or even use it as a stepping stone to higher office. I happen to know you quite well as a best friend. You're none of those.
No. My background is media. I was part of the Fourth Estate for 40 years. I have been covering local and state government all that time. I probably know as many or more people in local and state government than any other candidate. I may even be friends with more of them than any other candidate. And that friendship is, it's kind of skin deep because when you're talking about friendship with a public official, it has to be a little bit standoffish because the decisions they make are so important that I can't be part of their secrets. Everything they do for the public, in my opinion, is public business. Everything I will do in my job as mayor, when I'm elected mayor, is part of the public business. So I'm going to have two offices, one very small private office, one larger public office where I'll do all the public business. And the media can have seats in that office if they want to. If the Tennessean wants to sit in my office all of the time that I'm there and watch me conduct business while I'm on the phone discussing business with people, they have, as far as I'm concerned, they've got a right to do it because I'm working on the public's business. I want the public looking over my shoulder.
That would be a revolutionary level of transparency. When the election is a big, we know it's a special election. We know turnout's going to be key. We also know that this transit vision, which I think is a bad vision as well, is going to be a centerpiece of this election. But we really don't know exactly when it will be, do we?
No, it'll either be August, is it 1st, or May 22nd, yeah. I think. And those dates
constitutionally, we don't know yet.
The Supreme Court will tell us on April 11th, I believe, when this election is going to be. I'm told by lawyers that the Supreme Court, lawyers, Democrat and Republican lawyers both, that the Supreme Court, if they follow the clear meaning of the law, it's going to have to be in May and not in August. My guess is the Supreme Court won't be that disruptive to the decision made by the city council, and it will let this stand even though they probably should not.
All right, so we'll wait and see if it's a May election or an August 1st election.
Website. I'm ready for either.
Stephen, by the way, won
this. I'm ready for a sprint or a marathon, and either one of these.
This is probably going to be a lot of sentiment from certain. He says, please ask Ralph how we can donate to his campaign, and does he have a website yet?
I don't have a website yet. People can donate to my campaign, but if you want to give me a lot of money, you're going to be disappointed because I don't plan to spend a lot of money. What people do send me, I will try to spend as wisely as I can, but if there's more than necessary, when I've spent what's needed, I will probably send it back because, I don't know. When I win, then I'm going to have to decide whether I want to continue to do this or whether I can accomplish in a year and a half everything I want to as mayor.
Yeah, you might want to hang on to that money for a re-election
campaign. Redefine the office and the campaigning and turn it over to somebody else who would just do the job that I never intended to want to do in the first place.
Final question, because I'll have to give equal time to anybody that runs for mayor. So I'm going to ask them the same question, too. And that is, why is this election so important for Nashville and the surrounding area, and why you?
The main reason this election, more than any other, is so important for the Nashville area is because during the campaigning for this election, there's a simultaneous campaign for or against the transit tax, which is the most important decision, far more important than the mayor's election, that the voters of Nashville will have made
prior to
in the past and probably in the future. And when you've got two elections going on at the same time and you've got one great issue and nobody in the other election is running on that issue, that just can't happen. That's like having a trial without a defense attorney. It's like having a crowd with no protection. There has to be a devil's advocate in that race. And right now, I'm the only devil's advocate in that race. And that's the role I play.
Anybody that loves this radio station and has loved Ralph over the years, I know you know how to find him on Facebook, and we'll pass along that website. I think I came up with Ralph for Mayor 2018 and Michael for Transit.
Now somebody just took it.
Now for Michael for Transit Authority 2018. Ken for Trash Masher.
Are you going to be looking for a job in 2018?
Probably after doing so long of an interview with you. Ralph, congratulations on your decision. I wish you the best.
You
know that I can't vote for you, but
I
can encourage people, and we will continue to encourage people to realize what's at stake in this election.
Find me on Facebook at Ralph Bristol or on Twitter at Ralph Bristol.
Ralph Bristol, running for mayor of Nashville. What you think of that? 11:47, 13 minutes before noon. We're not even to 50, and somehow we think we're getting to 65. Traffic and weather together straight ahead. 11:52, 8 minutes before noon at Super Talk 99.7 WTN. How about that? Uncle Ralphie's running for mayor.
I knew he would run for something. I just didn't know it would be for mayor.
Now we know what it is.
Yeah.
Now, people don't know this, but we're also a very close family in addition to being a radio station. So, you know, it's awkward. A lot of people think we're very competitive, and we're not. We're actually very supportive. It's not a competitive bone in any of our body, but I would like to announce I'm running for president of the United States today. Mayor, I want to be the president of the United. I want to start tweeting about some people. Arnold couldn't resist. You knew Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to come out of open heart surgery with the "I'm back" line, and he did. And thank God his surgery went well. We did lose Stephen Bocco, who is it? Bochco or Bocco?
Bochco.
Bochco. Yeah, Bochco. He did, what he did, Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law. What else did he do? It's like a who's
like
who
all
of
those cop
NYPD
law.
Blue was, I think, the first. Doogie.
Oh,
I didn't know he did Doogie Howser.
I know who you're talking about
yeah,
now.
74 years old, he died. I thought it was extraordinary. I can only imagine was third in its opening weekend, third in its second week, and just barely fourth this week. Another $10.8 million. With the Christian movie, I Can Only Imagine. They have got to be dangerously close to $50 million. Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One was tops at the box office with 41.2. Acrimony was second at 17. Black Panther still doing 11 million every year, every week. Roseanne did so well. How well did it do? They've signed up for a second season already. That $18 million certainly got on everybody's radar. So 13 more episodes have been ordered for a second season of the brought back Roseanne show. Tonight you got Voice in American Idol, but I think all eyes are going to be on TBS, the men's national championship. I would say that, you know, Loyola was certainly the Cinderella story, and they're not in it. Michigan and Villanova give us, I think, a really great national championship. And it'll be very interesting to see if Villanova can keep up the three-pointers that they did. And their win over Kansas, 23 pointers, setting a March Madness record.
Insane.
8:20 tip off tonight on TBS, Villanova and Michigan for the men's national championship. Now, the women's national championship, unbeknownst to me, went to Notre Dame.
Yep.
Mississippi State was just dominating. I thought for sure it wasn't even going to be a close game. I switched over to a golf match, only to be shocked to find out not only did Notre Dame come back, not only did they avoid overtime like they had to go to beat UConn, which was still surprising to me. They just throw up a three with the clock running out, and boom, swish. They win 61-58. Mississippi State comes up short 2 years in a row, and for the Notre Dame Lady Irish, they get the national championship. And they took till today for the ANA Dinah Shore inspiration. And it was Pernilla Lindbergh in the eighth hole of sudden death. Had to be continued today because of darkness last night over Envy Park. And Ian Poulter had to win to get into the Masters. And he did just that at the Houston Open. And the Preds won 4-1 over Tampa Bay. We have 113 points.
We're the best.
We are the best in the NHL, and we play the Panthers in Miami 6:30 tomorrow night on Fox South TN. That's entertainment, that's sports, and that's Ralph running for mayor. Anything else we missed today?
We
got to wrap this puppy up. Qualified everybody to win some cash. You know.
Yeah, we did that too.
We had we hooked my mind up to the new thought machine. Got to hear what that would sound like.
It's interesting.
It's hard to do talk radio when people are hearing your voice and your thoughts at the same time. It's a silly show. Yeah. Had a silly show. Had some guests on Skype because we don't have any phones.
I was waiting for Keith Jackson to chime in.
Okay. I got to get into my, I don't know how I'm going to do gym with these allergies. This is going to be difficult. I can't go through Masters Week without being able to.
You know, you did gym okay today.
Well, tonight it's one of the great handoffs in all of sports. Jim Nance bringing you the national championship and then going right to Butler Cabin for the Masters. It all happens within like a 24-hour period of time. Always a favorite moment of mine. All right. Tomorrow we're going to talk national security and a little bit about China and the games they're playing. Basically, you got a lot of rhetoric surrounding real negotiations. Negotiations that must be done. And ultimately, even though there's a few bumps in the road, in the end, to get on the right track and the right road, it's the right journey to go to. We'll make sure everybody on the foreign policy front agrees with that. And then another 4K day. When's the next one? Is it during Dan or Phil?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock yep. This afternoon for your chance to qualify for the latest $1,000 cash giveaway. Sometimes the content isn't good enough. We got to bribe you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. The Dan Mandis Show is up next.